Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, September 29th, 2025. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening over Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us live by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you could send your questions to questions, it's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of the website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the top right side of the website. Okay, we're going to pick up with our scripture reading where we left off last week. We're in the Gospel of Luke, and we're in chapter 23. So, Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 23. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation, and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, Thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. Stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him. And lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, was cast into prison. Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him, and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance, and the women that followed him from Galilee, stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned, and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment.
Okay, Terry, do we have any questions today?
John, I can't get to the mail. I am watching my grandkids tonight, and I thought I had the passwords, and I got done with the kids and got ready, and I didn't have my passwords with me.
All right, well.
Sorry about that.
Okay, well, we'll pick up on that next week.
Okay.
Hopefully we have people. Let me see, I think we opened the queue already. Yeah, we do have one person in the queue. Well, hopefully we get some people in the queue. We could take questions in the queue and have some conversation. So the queue is open for anybody who wants to get in. If you're on a phone, it's a star 6 and a 1. And if you're on an Apple browser, it should be a button. But before we take our first question, I just want to let everybody know I've been working this week on putting together the necessary papers and evidence concerning Lavoie Fitikin to send to President Trump, Bondi, and Cash, and numerous other people within, I think a total of 14 people within his administration. I was going to send it to everyone in his administration, but there's certain individuals it just doesn't seem to make sense to, but maybe we'll see what happens. But right now, I have prepared everything to send to 14 individuals. And we've got a tremendous amount of evidence that we put together. You know, we did look at the video last week of the assassination of Lavoie Fitikin, and that video in itself is enough to prosecute those four individuals, particularly those four FBI agents. But they weren't the only ones. There was a lot more people involved. You know, there were two sheriffs. One sheriff was trying to protect Lavoie and understood, you know, that this was not a serious thing. And none of these people should have thought that it was anything serious, that Lavoie was a danger to anyone. He never pulled a weapon on anyone, although the FBI and the BLM I'm not too sure about the BLM, whether they're armed or not. I presume they are. But we do know that the FBI constantly were pointing weapons at individuals and threatening people. We have a tremendous amount of evidence. We also, you know, there was two sessions that were held by Congress concerning the problem out west. And I think the first session was in 2013 and the second was in 2014. Lavoy Finnegan, I believe, was killed in 2016. But as far back as 13 and 14, there was a huge amount of evidence. Numerous people came up and spoke to Congress. And we put all that evidence together. We've got those two sessions. It's quite a bit of information concerning, you know, the assault upon the ranchers out west. They were trying to get them off the land and were trying to starve them out in many different ways. But anyway, we've got lots of video concerning this. We've got lots of documentation. We have lots of affidavits. Just a tremendous, tremendous amount of information, evidence, but it's not, again, it's not just those four individuals that shot him. It's other FBI agents along the roadway that shot at the car numerous times in order to force that car at high speed and chase them at high speed to force them into the dead man's curve, where then he went off the road and into a snowbank, and then they just started peppering him with bullets. Again, we saw all that. And different flash, I forget what they call it, flash something or other. And they were, you know, numerous things. In any event, we did put all this together. I worked for quite some time during the week and on the weekend. I thought I'd be able to write the papers up by the weekend, during the weekend, but I haven't been able to. I did start putting some things together, but I haven't put it together. I was intending on reading it tonight and sending it out in the next couple of days. I still do intend on getting it out in the next few days, but I have to work on really putting this paper together. We have a great opportunity to bring up a lot of different issues to the president and to Bondi and also to Cash. And if anybody has any ideas or thoughts, I mean, I've got many of them that I do want to cover. You know, one of the biggest things I want to cover is the fact that, A, we are a republic and not a democracy. But I think... And again, that's an important issue. We're under the law, and we have to make it clear, and I'm going to make it as clear as crystal to these people what the law actually is. I've had conversations with many lawyers over the years. Recently, I had a conversation with a lawyer, and they totally believe that common law is trial court decisions. That's common law, which is totally absurd. I mean, there's so many bad decisions on the trial level, and then also it's self-serving, the fact that they kind of pad their decisions and different things when they throw people out of the court. They keep setting the stage to be able to destroy anybody that comes into the court to go up against the status quo, whether it be, you know, the government agency themselves or some large corporation that's well protected by the government. And so that's what they think. They also believe, they have no idea, they will not acknowledge that we're a Christian nation. I haven't met many lawyers that would acknowledge that. And they will not acknowledge that we are fashioned under Israel. They do believe, because they were taught these lies in school. And remember, they're as ignorant as all of us, you know, as far as coming out of school and... But we know nothing about our government. We know nothing about our Constitution. We know nothing about our founding fathers. We know some basic ideas and thoughts that maybe we've been taught, but we really never really learned true American history and who our founding fathers were and the many, many quotes that are so powerful that to define who we are as a people. But anyway, they don't know those things. Just like we didn't know those things, we have to go out and learn them. We have to make sure our children learn these things when they're young in school. We have to teach our children how to think, not what to think, but how to think, and give them, you know, the good news as far as us being a free nation, that we have liberty in this nation only because we are a Christian nation, and that we are founded under the Bible, under God. And that is proven very, very, very easily. Just going back in history and seeing when Jefferson and Franklin brought together what they thought that the seal, the great seal, should be, the U.S. seal. Jefferson and Franklin, one of them believed that the great seal should demonstrate Israel being liberated out of Egypt, and God putting a fire in between the Egyptians and Israel in order to protect them. And the other one, I'm not sure which was which, but anyway, the other one was the parting of the Red Sea, the description of Moses with his staff and departing the Red Sea and Israel going across that Red Sea. That in itself tells everything, in the sense that they wanted this to be the seal. Of course, it became the New World Order seal. Those two seals eventually were rejected. And there's an individual who was well involved in the New World Order that put together the seal that we have today, which really brings us into the description of the New World Order. So we see that the enemy has been in the gate from the very beginning, but we also see what was in the mind and the intent of the hearts and the minds of the people who put this nation together, who gave us the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And that is the key, the Declaration of Independence. Because a last conversation I had with a lawyer, which was a couple of weeks back, he kept trying to tell me common law was one thing. Of course, I was making the argument from the other position, and I was shut down. You know, they didn't want to hear that. I was shut down. But I realized, you know, after that conversation, we probably shouldn't even bring up that we're under the common law. We should bring up the fact that we're under the laws of nature and of nature's God, that we're under natural law. And that is the key. And that is an argument that they cannot argue against, because the Declaration of Independence, which is the foundation of the law of who we are as a people, the foundation of our founding documents, the first document, places us under the laws of nature and of nature's God, and to receive the blessings of liberty. So that was a desire, to be under God's law, in order that we would receive the blessings of liberty. And that was a covenant with God, and that's where it all begins. And that is also understood as common law. And common law as described in the colonies and in Britain, as it was in 1776. And that is the key, because first of all, there are no trial court decisions that was ever even brought up. Those conclusions have never been brought up in any conversation that I have found in all the research that I have done, especially when it comes to common law. So how is it that is the case? Also, the Constitution, the United States Supreme Court, Supreme Court justices, especially back in the beginning, who made statements such as that the Constitution could not be understood. It's outside of the common law. And if you go into Black's law and you go into Bouvier's law, go back into Blackstone, always you'll discover that the meaning of the word law, L-A-W, law, always, without fail, identifies with natural law. Anything else is called positive law, because every other law is man-made law. And it's referred to as positive law. It's referred to also as equity. And that is legislative law. And the word equity really is that which really refers to that which is just and right. And of course, quite a bit legislative law that is not just and right, that is repugnant to the Constitution, that denies who we are as a people and by what law we are under. But they will try to claim something different, but they cannot defend it. They cannot find it in history. They cannot find it in any of the law dictionaries. You can't find. And Blackstone again is a big focus on who we are, where we come from. So, and our founding fathers, their focus towards Israel, really particularly focusing in on the Christian nation, Christianity, but fashioned under Israel. And of course, Old Testament and New Testament, you know, really, I've heard it been said, the New Testament is the Old Testament defined or explained. And there's a great truth to that, of course. You know, we can come to a greater understanding much easier in the New Testament than we can in the Old Testament. But when we look into the Old Testament, it talks about Christ in the New Testament. All Scripture focuses in on that point. Christ and His coming, the first coming and the second coming. His judgment upon this world. His righteousness and His blessings and so on. It is important that we realize this, and this is really the biggest thing. I want to say this with the least amount of words as possible. You know, we've already said some of these things to the president already through other, you know, presentments that we've sent to him. We've sent a couple of them, and we've copied everyone within his administration. And we sent every one of them a copy of the book, Government by Consent. And so I'm going to try to say things particularly focusing in on law and our courts and how destructive they are. The other thing is we have a serious problem is still within our government, and particularly in the FBI. The FBI cannot be trusted. There is a lot of bad actors in the FBI still that have powerful positions. Positions where they are sent out, and you know, the management, I guess the management level, the hierarchy, and when information comes up to Cash, it really can't be trusted. I don't know if he. I think he got. He has to realize this. But I'm kind of. I'm not sure about how I would say about Cash. But the thing is this: maybe he doesn't have enough experience in the government. He has a lot of experience about the government. But maybe not at the level where he's at right now, in the sense that he doesn't have a good hold, I don't think, on who the leadership is that is sending up this information. You know, we have these four individuals that murdered Lavoie Finicum out in the open, dead, just no denying it. Just the video in itself that we played last week is enough information to get a guilty by through any jury on these four individuals, and yet they were given one of the greatest honors, some kind of a Medal of Honor, which one of the greatest honors that someone could receive. I think it was the bravery or something. We were brave guys going out with guns shooting an unarmed man. I mean, that's actually what took place. Now, Cash, I don't think believed that. I mean, they shot an unarmed man. The lie, of course, has been that he was armed, that he did try to go for a gun. What man would come out of the vehicle with his hands in the air, and then they would shoot him? And for what purpose? He wasn't a hardened criminal. He had no background, no criminal background. He was a peaceful individual. We have hours and hours of him on video talking about the problems, looking to make peace. The day before he died, and we're going to write this quotes up in the paperwork, the night before he died, okay, he talked about the facts that there's something going on, that the FBI was saber-rattling, that there was a lot more tension and anger and pointing of guns, and he was concerned about that. And when he was on his way, and they knew where he was going, he was on his way to see the sheriff, and the sheriff was expecting him. But they cut him off at the pass, and they killed him. And they tried to kill three other individuals. They tried to take out Bundy and Cox. And then a child was in the car, and they kept peppering this car with bullets. And this went on for quite some time. I think it was 5 minutes, just shooting up this car with bullets, shooting this car up as he coming down the road, and shooting this car, shooting on Lavoie Finicum as he raised his hands and came out of the car. And it's thought that the reason why he raised his hands again and got out of the car was to save the lives of the other individuals, because he knew he was the guy that they were coming out for. But Bundy was also a target. I don't think as big a target as Lavoie Finicum. So anyway, Justice must be served. And we're going to make that point clear. We're going to give them all the evidence they need. You know, it doesn't take much at all to see the... And this, you know, this video is just one thing. What also is damning is the report that we put in there. And we'll put all this stuff... We do have all this stuff up on the website right now, but I'm going to repackage it a little different. I've worked quite a bit to repackage this and bring all of these different videos together and all of the... All of these different reports as news reports, all kinds of reports, interviews, and portraying exactly what took place. But we have a tremendous amount of evidence to prove, without a shadow of a doubt, that these four individuals, with plenty of evidence, deserve the death penalty. That's what I think. You know, they murdered this guy. It was intended and it was planned. And it's clear as crystal. So anyway, we're going to make that point. We'll make it very clear. I'm going to do this in the minimum amount of words I can possibly do it in, because I don't want to get lost, to get the points we need to get out and the things that they need to be thinking about. I don't want to get lost in lots of words. So I'll endeavor to keep this as short as possible, but also stay on point. The most important thing that we need to achieve, first and foremost, of course, is justice. Justice for Lavoie Finnegan. But justice for all of us. Justice in our courts, because it doesn't exist in our courts. We don't have justice in our courts. You cannot win in these courts. Every case that I've ever went up with, I in my heart believe without any doubt that I should win every single one of them. First of all, these lawyers on the other side, they're just morons, most of them. Yeah, you got a few bright guys here or there, but generally speaking, they're just morons. They're minions of the New World Order. They've been taught the lie, and they regurgitate it over and over and over again. That's all they do. And then they will attack you and come at you with venom if you bring up the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. Christ had a lot to say about lawyers, and it was nothing good. And nothing has changed. Of course, there are good lawyers out there, good people. I know one lawyer who's a common law lawyer. Got a good heart. He's a Christian. He knows the truth. But there's not many of them out there. And of course, you know, there are people that see themselves as lawyers that never went to bar school, self-taught, see themselves as lawyers, and know the truth. But generally speaking, these bar attorneys, they don't even realize how repugnant and evil they are for what they stand for, what they uphold. But we have to change that. We have to make sure, you know, you can't, it's very difficult to get, as soon as you talk with a lawyer, you're shut. As soon as you bring up anything that is contrary to what they understand, they shut you down. Even if you have that opportunity to speak, they're not hearing a word you're saying. They're rattling all this garbage in their brain with the law that they think is the law, which is no law at all. It's a law for slaves, maybe. It certainly isn't for a free people. And so it's very difficult to talk to these people. You know, Bondi is a lawyer. Attorney General Bondi, she's a lawyer. Okay, Trump is not a lawyer. Unfortunately, to a major degree, maybe not to a total degree, but to a major degree, Trump relies on lawyers to deal with his business. But the type of business that he's dealing with does identify and deal with, because he was in commercial business. And in commercial business, you know, when he's doing something commercially, then he falls under equity, which is legislative law, law written for commercial activities. And of course, being president, he falls under equity, which identifies, of course, with him being a servant, an individual in government, a servant of the people, holding a political position. And he's governed. You know, all these government agencies are governed by equity. And all this equity is good. I have not really found any problem with the equity focusing in on these individuals. You know, there are problems. Don't get me wrong. But generally speaking, It's pretty powerful towards justice, okay? There are 57 codes on the federal level, and many, many more on the state levels. But on the federal level, there are 57 codes, and each one of those codes identify with different things, okay? You know, it identifies with the power and the authority of the president, for instance, or it identifies with the power and the authority of Congress. U.S. Title II is for Congress. U.S. Title III is for the president. U.S. Title VII is for agriculture, okay? U.S. Title X is for armed forces. Okay, U.S. Title 17 is copyright. U.S. 23 is for highways. 24 is for hospitals and asylums. 28, we run into a problem with judiciary and procedure. That's where some of the problem is in U.S.C. 28. Not that all of it's bad, but there's enough poison in there that they relate and they put upon the people. We're not under equity. We're under the law. USC Title 29 is for labor. 34 is for the Navy. 38 is for the veterans' benefits. 39 is postal service. 43 is public lands. And 57 is for small businesses. So there are 57 USC codes. They're all good. We run into problems for instance, in USC 26, the IRS code, which is no law at all. Even inside itself, it says it's no law. The lawyers, the judges on the federal level, they understand that, and they just ignore you when you bring it up. So USC 26 is a major problem. USC 28 is a major problem because it has a lot of things in there that really they've written in there for the purpose to control the people. You know, when an individual is brought under criminal charges that is falling under U.S. codes, then they automatically go into a court of law. They cannot be tried in a court of equity. Although they tried Trump in a court of equity, when you see a judge and there's no real jury, or they divide the jury, it's really pretty bad when they take a jury and they divide it up into pieces and say, you decide this, you decide that, and you decide the other things. We saw that happen in a trial with Trump. You know, once a criminal act is potentially committed by an individual working for the government or working and operating under commercial activities, interstate, particularly on the federal level, of course, then they fall into the court of law. But equity is still applied upon them because these are the rules that they agreed upon when they decided to get involved in the political process and go to maybe even just be employed by the government and become an FBI agent or any other agent. They're all under the equity, under USC, U.S. codes. But commercial activity, the same thing, under the codes. But we, the people, are not under those codes. Never was under those codes. No matter that we should not or ever be tried in a court of equity, which is what we are tried in every time you see a judge come in and no jury, and they make all these decisions. They decide what evidence is going to come into play and what evidence is not going to come into play. They are the deciders. The servant judges the master. And that's what we got here. People need to wake up to these things. I mean, you know, people are listening in, they're waking up, but there's a lot of people out there that are still asleep. They don't know. They have not woken up. They don't understand. You do not have any unalienable rights as far as any of these people are concerned. None. The Constitution, the Bill of Rights, does not protect you in a court. I know this. I've been in the courts for over 15 years now, and I'm telling you, there is no justice there whatsoever. There will be done, and that's it. No matter how good your case is, no matter how powerful, no matter what evidence you have, you're not getting it through. Maybe 15 years ago, some people were still getting things through. You know, back in those days, I was still kind of ignorant and learning, so I didn't get anything really much to talk about through. And 20 years ago, 25 years ago, yeah, some cases got through. Maybe some judges, they didn't feel strong enough to go up against this case to try to do this or hide that or throw this case out or whatever the case may be. But today, in a heartbeat, they'll throw you out of court. In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat, they will lie right on the papers. You'll put the papers in. You'll send writs of errors. You say, let it be known. Hey, you're just regurgitating the lie. Why don't you read the papers? Read the papers, what we put together, and what this case is all about, and not just the papers that these lawyers come in, where they just bring up lie after lie after lie after lie, and then the judge will make a decision, and they will go back and bring up the issues that this bar attorney laying out the case, but never bringing up the opposition of what is said as far as, you know, the papers that we write. It's pretty bad. And I'm going to tell you, Trump can do everything he can to save this nation, and the people working with him try to save this nation. And he can put us back on our feet. He could fix the economy. And everything could be looking dandy. But if we don't fix our courts, we have accomplished nothing. Because if there is no justice in our courts, if these people continue with the lie, trying to tell people we are a democracy, that we're not a republic, that common law is court decision, trial court decisions, and that equity is the law of the land, this is a lie from hell. And people, they don't know. People who have no experience in the courts have no clue on what's going on, and that's most people. And people who do go into the courts, a lot of those people, they go in with lawyers, and they believe they're a lawyer. You know, I had a conversation, as I mentioned, recently, a couple of weeks ago, and the people were just following that lawyer. My resistance that I was given to the lawyer, my debate, my argument concerning, you know, the truth. I mean, I knew he was going to try to shut it down. I was constantly shut off from talking. But the people went along with it. They went after the lawyer. They're following the wolf, and they don't even know it. And that's the shame. And why is this? How have we come to this kind of a situation? The problem is we're ignorant. Ignorant to the truth. You know, our the law is, we find our heritage in the law, and our inheritance is liberty. It's unalienable rights. But if you don't know what your heritage is, you don't know what your unalienable rights is, you don't know what the Constitution says that controls them, that we, the people, ordained and established this Constitution to control them. Not for them to have any authority, because nowhere will you find that we gave them any authority to write any law to govern us. We are above the law. People need to get a new mindset. They need to understand we are above the law. We make the law. We're the sovereign. We're under the law of nature's God, of nature and of nature's God. That's the law we're under. All men are under that law. Even they are under that law. They may not believe it and they may not acknowledge it, but the day is coming when they're going to find out that they are under God's law. But as long as the people don't know, they don't know how to have government by consent. What is government by consent? I'd like to know what people think government by consent is. Because I tell you what, they'll tell me it goes out to vote. That's what government by consent is. Well, we're going to vote for somebody, you know, and put them into office, and that's government by consent. I don't know if they have one or two other things. Maybe they do. I can't think them out right now. But that's it. But that's not government by consent. Government by consent is taking control of your government from the grassroots level. Government by consent is deciding and going and telling these people that are educating our children, teaching them all of these demoralizations, all of these horrible things, and confusing our children. They don't even know what sex they are. They're destroying our children. Government by consent is being able to step up and stop it by going in there and going, and you got to get the sheriff in. So, you know, on your side, you have to educate the sheriff as much as you, as yourself. And you need to take that sheriff and go into these meetings and bring the law of the people down onto them and serve them with a quo warranto. They got 3 days to respond. And if they don't respond by what authority and power they act, they lose their seat. They're done. And anybody can fill that seat until the next election. That's government by consent. Stop demoralizing our children. Government by consent is going after all of these different local governments, the boards, the different town boards, and putting these people on notice that they need to stop doing what they're doing and start serving the people, stop wasting our money, and put the money back into the support of the people. That's government by consent. The power and the authority the people have through committees of safety to do that. That's what you can do. That's what we, and if people don't do that, and I'm telling you they're not doing it. Yeah, there are some people doing it, but not enough. I sit and listen to other places sometimes, and I listen to what people say, and all their complaining about this, and this is our way, we need people to, you know, they talk about things, for instance, they think that Trump isn't doing the right thing because nobody, and Bondi's not doing the right thing because people aren't going to jail yet. Well, it's not that simple. He's got a lot to deal with. There's a plan out there. And unfortunately, because of ignorance, it takes time to be able to set the stage for the people to receive and digest and take on and realize, yes, you have to get the majority of the people to realize that what we're doing is the right thing. And that takes time. It's a re-education. He's been working at it for almost 9 years now. Actually, if you go to the year before, almost 10 years now. And only now is it ready. But even with that, justice moves slowly. You have to pull all your evidence together. You have to take it and then you have to take it and bring it to before a grand jury. All that takes time, okay? A lot of those things have been going on for quite some time, but it still takes time. So you got to get your grand jury to come in and give you an indictment. Remember, government has to go and beg the people for an indictment. Lay it at the feet of the people, and if people look at it, because they are the sovereign, and they decide, yay or nay, we're going to give you that indictment, or take a hike, buddy. But the people are suckers, and because of their ignorance, they're just, pulled around by the wool of their eyes, over their eyes. They're just, led by like sheep. All too often they get indictments. A lot of indictments are built upon lies, too. And those people bringing in those lies and destroying lives, they're as guilty as anyone else. They should go to jail. But government by consent is getting involved. Government by consent is taking control of our courts, which is what common law requires. Not bar attorneys calling together your juries and orientating them. No, we the people must call together the juries. We the people must orientate them. And in order to orientate them, we have to be educated to be able to do that. We have to have the knowledge necessary to give them the knowledge that they receive. And if they don't receive that knowledge, if they don't know that they have the power of nullification, that any law that's brought up that is of equity, we can say no. We can say no, we don't like that. Even if it's lawful to apply that equity on an individual in a criminal case, we can still say no. In this case, it doesn't work. No. This particular statute is repugnant to the Constitution. No. And we can reject it. We the people, as a trial jury, referred to and called a petit jury, they get to decide everything. They get to decide the facts. They get to decide the law. and they could decide the penalty. Although, the only thing they'll allow them to decide is the facts. And in any case that's up against the status quo, they're not going to allow a lot of the facts to come in because they've written themselves rules and given themselves powers and authority to reject any evidence that they don't like. And they do it all day long. What do you think happened in the Bundy case and the Hammonds? You know, they brought in all this, they rejected all of this evidence. And by God's mercy, you know, the especially in the Bundy case, and God, by God's mercy here, the jury did see through what was going on. And they did find them not guilty. But how many people were threatened with 20 years in jail? We'll give you 5, or we'll give you 10. Just plead guilty, because you're gonna hit 20. You may even get life, you know. And all those, and they're still in jail. Those people are still in jail. They're innocent. We can, with the evidence we have, we prove their innocence. So there's a lot of people in jail that's innocent. That you know, Bundy needs to really take a look at and do something to get these people out of jail. These people that have been injured need to be restored. LaVoy Finnegan's widow needs to really get justice ultimately. Her husband's name needs to be cleared to begin with, but she needs to be restored. No amount of money can really restore her, but that is how we restore people to the best. And she deserves that. And the family deserves that. What was us if we have the opportunity to do something for these people and for Lord LaVoy Finnegan himself, no longer with us, and his wife and his family? Woe is us if we have the opportunity to do something for these people, and if we don't. And that's why I feel so important that this must be done. You know, we asked for money, for people to give money, and that's another problem. People don't want to give money. They don't want to help out. They don't want to get involved. They want to bitch, moan, and complain. They want to just say, oh, this, that, and the other thing. Why don't you get off your rear ends and do something about it? Exercise your unalienable right of government by consent. Support the people and the different groups that are doing something to bring justice back into this nation. Because I'm telling you that we will not have a nation, it will never be saved permanently if we don't get our courts back. It's only a matter of time before some psycho group of psychopaths or sociopaths will get together and make a plan and take us right back down the same path of slavery again. Only you, the people, can stop this. Only you, the people, can exercise your right of government by consent, and it must be done on the grassroots level, free and independent, committees of safeties, taking control of their local governments throughout the whole counties, the county government, the state government, your town governments, your village governments. Taking it back at every level. Bring it in under the subjection of the people. We teach you how to do that, by the way. That's what we teach. That's what we're about. In case some people are here and don't realize that. This is what we teach. That's what our courses are all about. That's what all the books that we've written is all about. All of the handbooks that we've written. How to operate these things, how to do these things, what to do. We tried, you know, we have these open forums and we hope that people come up and ask questions and on different things and we'll assist them. Let's have government by consent. That's what we need to do. Only by government by consent can we bring justice back into our courts, because the people need to take control of every single court in America. And that can only be done on a county level, because the court is on the county level. The state courts, we have 62 counties in New York. We have 62 courts. one for each county, but it's the New York State Supreme Court, and what and in the name of your county, Dutchess County, Columbia County, Orange County, Ulster County, whatever county, Putnam County, Westchester County, you know, each county has their own state court, Supreme Court. They're unified. They're one court. It's just that there's 62 locations here in New York. And we need to control those courts. We're trying to teach people how to control those courts. That's a real job. That's a full-time job, by the way. We're looking to take that back and place people in. They'll work 40 hours a week. That's one of the things we've been working on. And we need 4 to 5 people to be jury administrators. 4 people as administrators and 1 paralegal who's also an administrator, so there's actually 5. That's the minimum requirement. We get that from the Magna Carta. Minimum requirement. You know, New York City or some large city is going to be a lot more people than 4 plus 1. But in any event, it's 4 plus 1. They have to have a basic understanding. They have to understand due process. We teach that. They have to understand the power and the authority of the jury, how to free and orientate the jury. We teach that. And people need to go through these courses, read these handbooks, and get involved and take on those jobs. You know, it's a good job. It's a paid job, 40 hours a week. But that's you'll be working and, you know, ultimately for the state, but you won't be paid through the state. You have to be paid. We're working that out also. In other words, there'll be no connection ultimately with the people coming in to run their courts, because those courts belong to the people, to be run by the people, to be decided by the people. We orientate the jury, who are the people. We bring them in, they make the decisions, they hear the case, and then they execute what they think is a right judgment. It's we the people, controlled by we the people. No judges are permitted in a court of law. How many people know that? That's a fact. No judge. The judge is the jury. That's the king's bench. They are to represent the will of God, the will of the king of the court. Remember, we're under the laws of nature and of nature's God. Our courts belong to God. We have to rule from our hearts. God already written the law in our heart. We know the law. We know when a person's been injured. We've been in life and in this world and in this counties long enough to understand how things work and what's right and wrong and when we're injured and when we're not injured. We know those things. We don't need a law, some government legislator to come tell us what the law is. We already know what the law is. And they got a lot to say about that. It has nothing to do with the law. And people are, you know, go to jail under legislative law, which has nothing to do with real law. You know, you take these town courts, these village courts, these city courts, judges rule over them, and if they ask for a jury, it's a stacked jury anyway. Maybe they'll give them 6 people, the requirement is 12. Why is it, that's the law of the land, 12 people. Why is it 12 people? Because it's 12 witnesses. We're a Christian nation. Christ came, and there were 12 witnesses bearing the truth that this is the creator of the universe, that this is the law. 12 people make the decision. All it takes is for one person of that 12, just one, and they don't even acknowledge this anymore either, okay? All it takes is one person to hold off and say, nope, I'm not going guilty with this, because as far as I can see, this person's innocent. Nope, ain't happening. And you can spend days, weeks, or whatever in that room, make an argument, and if this person still feels that way, that's the way it is. That jury must find non-guilty, even though 11 might want to go one way and only one says no. You have to get all 12. And it's not for the judge to throw that jury out and get a new case going or whatever the case may be. Okay, no, the people spoke. And they need to understand that at some point in time that's what they have to come with, the decision of the non-guilty. Otherwise, the judge should be saying to them, not the judge really, it's the magistrate. magistrate, and all judges are magistrates, by the way, so they can sit in either court, but one they act with authority as a judge in equity. They interpret the law of equity upon individuals running in commercial activity or in some government agency. So they get to make that decision there as a judge, okay? But it's appealable. You can appeal it up the line. So their decision is not final. Eventually gets to, you know, a three-panel judge and then up to another. It could go to the Supreme Court, where there's nine. But when it comes to a court of law, the judge puts on his magistrate cap. And his only power and authority is to do the will of the King's Bench, period. He can't say, no, this evidence can't come in. I don't like this evidence. Oh, you can't bring that up. Don't say this in my court. He can't do that. Because even if it doesn't even help the case, even if the person is deluded but wants to bring this evidence in and there's no evidence at all, well, it'll prove itself, so let it come in. That's the law. People have an unalienable right to defend themselves however they see fit. So we, the people, have to really get more involved. We have to support the groups and different people and organizations that are doing something. You know, National Liberty Alliance is doing what it's doing. And I think we're doing the most important thing of all of these liberty groups out there. Could be wrong. Maybe someone can show me something different. I'm up to hearing that. But that doesn't mean that other people aren't, because everybody's doing, as long as you're doing something. It may not be working to support the courts and what's going on to bring justice back and to bring us back under a republic and get rid of this word democracy, which is repugnant to the word republic, especially a natural law republic. We are the only natural law republic in the world, the only one. And that's why it's been so difficult for them to really enslave us. They've already enslaved us pretty good, but, you know, it's sort of in secret. And people don't realize it until they get stuck in a situation and they realize they have no hope. But in any event, you know, we still walk around thinking we're free. And we do exercise a lot of liberties and a lot of freedom. Okay? And the only reason that goes on is for two reasons. Because we have a covenant with God. We ask God to be under His law and to receive His blessings. And that's a covenant that no man can break. So that's the main reason why the United States of America still has a lot of liberty. It's also the main reason why we have weapons. Okay? Because that. So that's the main reason we are free. But it takes the people to step up. You see, God's not going to put up with this too much longer. I'm convinced of that anyway. But, you know, he's not going to put up with this anymore. You know, at some point, he's just not going to permit slavery to his children. It's just not going to happen. I have 100% faith in that truth. So, as dark as it looked out there, and God really, you know, remember the Bible tells us that He raises up powers and He brings powers down. So He brings up governments and He brings government down. Jesus said when he was being judged by Pilate, "You have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above." And from that moment on, Pilate sought to free Jesus. But of course he couldn't, because Jesus came in for the purpose to pay for the penalty of his children, penalty of sin for his children. But in any event, that's why the United States will never be totally destroyed. We'll go right up to the end till Judgment Day. It'll be here until Judgment Day. It has become very, very close over the years. I know for me, I prepared for war for a long time. I've been preparing for war since the beginning of 2000. That's how long I've been preparing for war. Some people preparing longer than that. Some people shorter than that. But in 2017, you know, when When Trump came and went into office, I started to see the turnaround. But I was preparing for war up until that point. Anyway, we the people need to get off our rear ends and get involved in our local community, create committees of safety, exercise our unalienable right of government by consent. For if the people expect to be ignorant and free, as Thomas Jefferson said, they expect what never was and will never be. Our heritage is in the law. Liberty is our heritage, and the people have no clue on any of that. Every individual should be educated enough to come out of school to take care of their own business, whether it's their relationship with God or their business in the courts. They should know how to do that. We should all learn how to be articulate. That could be done, you know. Some people, there are a lot of people out there that are not articulate. So they can hire a lawyer and still be in control of their case. But they need to know the law. They need to understand and say, hey, Lord, forget about it. We ain't going that route. No, we're going this route. Okay? Now, anybody that's going in on a criminal thing should definitely hire a lawyer anyway. It's almost impossible for most of us to hire lawyers because we can't afford them. But in any event, if possible, you should get counsel. But that's what they are, counsel. They don't get to run your case. You get to decide what's going to be said in that courtroom, what's not going to be said in that courtroom. But you're using them as counsel. You're getting their experience. You use that them for their experience. You know? But they want to give you a lawyer because they want to control everything. They want to shut you down because you're dumb. You're stupid. And we are. We are ignorant. We're ignorant to these things because we decided to be. Once we discover we're ignorant to those things and we continue in our ignorance, then we decided to be ignorant. And guess what? You don't deserve anything then. If the people don't get up, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve government by consent. We just don't deserve it. All right. Anyway, I guess I've gone on long enough. We do need some assistance. We are going forward with this. This is a great opportunity, I feel, for us right now. I'm working on these. I've been giving a lot of thought, making a lot of notes, bringing together all this evidence. You know, before you write, you have to bring the evidence together. You don't write and then go put the evidence together. You know, it's been a long time since I looked at that evidence. I've been reviewing that evidence, preparing this case to bring it in. It will go in this week. I don't see any way that it's not going to, because I'm pretty well organized with everything now. And I've got lots of notes, and now it's the time of focus to write. But I want to say I've asked for money a couple of times. We started this about a month ago, and we had one person send us 50, another person recently send 100, and we had one person send 1,000. So on a shoestring budget, we're going to do what we got to do. But look, it's not fair for people to expect to have liberty, to have government by consent, and not do anything to protect it. The Constitution cannot defend itself. Only you can defend that Constitution. And you defend that Constitution by doing one or both of two things. Getting involved locally in your community and supporting that financially. Committees of safety. You know, we came up here with, we're looking at 10 bucks a month for each person in the committee of safety that we got going. And you don't need a lot of money, but you do need some money to pay for certain things. And as time goes on, you know, you get a lot of people, maybe it'll be $5, or maybe we'll stay at $10, or maybe we'll have too much money, and we could always do something with money. So that's certainly a local thing. The other thing is to get involved here with National Liberty Alliance, or with some other group, if that's what you want, that's okay. There's a lot of people doing a lot of good things. Okay, but then support that group. Give them or us $5 a month or more. Support the group financially. Educate yourself. If you can become, we have tremendous amounts of education on this website. Tremendous. You could spend a lifetime and still not go through everything we have up there. That's a fact. So, you know, we try to lead people through breadcrumbs, you know, come up to the education starts here, come down to courses, and just start the courses. And for those that are really interested in getting involved in the judicial process, especially within your within your counties where you want to be maybe one of the administrators, which is a paid position, okay, but you'd be administrator working in the courts, and your job is separate from the courts, separate from the bar attorneys, separate from anyone, separate from the judges. You're the people. You orientate the jury. You liberate them. You prepare them for the job before them. We train people for that. For that, you have to take all our courses. We have an administrator course, and we're working on a handbook, an administrator handbook. But you have to have the basic background of the law, and you have to understand due process. And for that purpose, we put together Court Access in the Common Law course. Through that course, you will understand due process, how the court system works. You know? We've written lots of books. You know, you can get a lot all this stuff through books too, but, you know, I don't know. You know, when you go through a course, I would tell people when they go through the course that they should get the book, Government by Consent. I mean, Court Access in the Common Law. I think it's $39, so it's not going to break you. And also get into the course and use them hand in hand. They take different approaches. I wrote the book from one approach, but when I put the course together, I saw I had to deliver it in a different way to teach the due process. So it doesn't follow the chapters in the book, but that book is valuable because the book you can carry with you, you can go through it and breeze through it and get a lot of stuff from the book itself. Okay, a lot of forms in the book. It lays out how a case is. But anyway, you know, I've written quite a few books for the purpose of assisting people with this in the courts and in the common law. You know, understanding the federal courts. If you're going to get involved in the judicial process, you need to understand how the federal courts are structured, how they work. Okay? Nothing. It's not a difficult a book to get through. Okay? None of my books, I think, are difficult. It's plain language because law is plain language. It's just a collection of maxims. It's a collection of logic. It's a collection of self-evident truths. A law is a real law, you know. The equity law, that's a whole different story. It's just nonsense. Well, I wouldn't call it nonsense, but it could get lost. Okay? So, you know, when they put the civil, let's call it the civil law, because what they did in 1938 is they combined, who combined? Well, actually, the Bar Association put all this together. But the United States Supreme Court, they decided to bring the rules to act on the Rules Enabling Act and to create the rules. And in them, those rules, they gave themselves certain powers and authorities. First of all, they got rid of common law. They got rid of the law of the land. And they claimed to have combined law and equity, which is like putting water and oil together. It doesn't mix. Man's law does not mix with God's law. Okay? It just doesn't go. It doesn't work together. So they've combined it and call it civil law. So they're applying statutes upon the people. So the book Government, Court Access in the Common Law, okay, you know, if you're going to study the law, you got to get that book. And you got to take the course, you know. We give you a course that will cost $150,000, $250,000. It's as good as any course for any taught to any lawyer. Better than that because we combine it with the common law. We combine due process with the common law in opposed to equity, which is referred to as positive law. And there are two other books, and if you're going to really get into the understanding law and getting being able to take care of your own legal business, you know, as far as, you know, getting into court to defend yourself, okay, we have the Common Law Handbook, and we have the Common Law Court Handbook. I would suggest both. They're not very expensive. I think they're like $9 a piece. They're handbooks. They fit in your back pocket, okay? But I wouldn't even think of walking into a courtroom without having this book in my hand, Common Law Court Handbook. Because that it puts at your fingertips everything you need, all kinds of things you need, and you can find it very quickly and execute it in the court. The other one that everybody should get, in my opinion, is the Common Law Handbook. It really focuses in, of course, on the common law, and it enlightens people on the law. And, again, law is common sense. with your eye on justice. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. But anyway, people need to get active. All right, anybody who wants to get into the queue, star 601 if you're on a phone, and if you're on Apple browser, there should be a button there. We've got one person in the queue. We'll take our first person, see where we go. Anonymous, first name and your state. You got the mic. I think I muted you.
Yes, hi. Good evening. Hang on a second.
Yep.
Sorry, I was...
I recognize your voice, but what's your first name and your state?
Yeah, my name is Elizabeth, and I'm in Arizona.
Okay.
There's so many things I want to ask, but it'll happen in the right time.
Things go. I mean, right
first
now,
first of all,
person in the queue, so we'll see what we can do. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, sir. Just something I wanted to say about LaVoy's situation. You know, trying to reach like Pam Bondi and all that. I have a feeling she does know. She knows what's going on with the court transition. It has to be so, but it's not time. So, but you know, it's like this is not about ambition, you know, trying to beat the law. A lot of times the courts, I've seen it with a couple of cases that I've seen in the last year on television or on the internet, you know, live. And justice and truth are not really the prize. It's who wins. And I mean, there was a couple of quick cases I could talk about, but I don't want to take a lot of time. But, you know, it's like there's really no concern about that truth is found out. And that, you know, and so, you know, I mean, Mr. Finnegan was ambushed. And when he was ambushed, we were ambushed, and it's cut into a lot of people's hearts, and this not being addressed and not being having closure, it's like an infected wound, and it is something that needs to be addressed. And so I don't know, I also, you know, and you know, and it also tells us in the Bible that, you know, we're going to put Christ's enemies under his footstool, and it's going to be in God's time. And even the stuff I'm facing, I don't know if I will live to see this justice. I have to put it in God's hands and then continue to do it. And then things will come that I never even thought of. I know, I mean, this whole learning process with your teaching, it didn't just come out of the blue. Because I've been looking for a long, long time to find a way to put my hands on this stuff. So, and having said that, I just wanted to bring up something else, and then I can give somebody else time. So a few years back, when Trump came into office, 2017, the internet started exploding with all kinds of things that none of us ever, I mean, that I had never seen or expected to see, like on a lot of the social media. Like there wasn't a whole lot then, it was just basically YouTube. And then there was Alex Jones and, you know, people who were putting people in front of us who were telling the truth, and a lot of them ended up getting killed and all of that. And when I remember learning about the first time I heard, I mean, there were people on there doing beautiful, they were beautiful people, and they were doing great, great journalism about, you know, they're trying to uncover the pedophilia. That was a big one. And it just struck me really hard. And so I started feeling really filthy. I took it personally, very selfish, childlike, but it was like I didn't want anything to do with this. And I, you know, so I did, I found some places on there, they're like, you know, you're out in the sea, like the man in the sea, and you need something, like, so this piece of driftwood comes by, and I grabbed onto it, and I learned about this UCC stuff enough, and the thing is, they dangle these carrots, and they don't tell you the whole thing, you got to send them money. And then there's a part where they say, well, you have to surrender your Social Security card and all these things to Mnuchin or whoever. And I, that just like, you know, so I did the documents that I was told to review and sign. I just couldn't sign them. And it was a lot of anguish. I mean, it was like, I just wanted to, I felt so bad about what was going on. And, but I did rewrite them in terms of like, you know, and I know that thing about I'm a woman walking on the land. Well, you know, that was insightful to me because I never really realized that, that our country is not really in our hands the way we think. And that they can come take our land, you know, if they want and write a statute about it or something. But I wrote it and I, you know, that I'm under the blood of Jesus, you know, and I'm an American. And, you know, and then all those titles that they want to mix up, you know, like word salad, like are you a citizen? Are you, you know, a tenant? Are you a resident? You know, and I mean, to this day, I still check that I'm not a U.S. resident. Because I'm not, and I know that, but you know I still have to sometimes catch up to what these things mean. So, and I so these documents were, and I did file something with the UCC on the East Coast, but they after every 5 years you have to renew it. So that was kind of weird, and but I never got into doing any of the credit stuff, and I thought it was something wrong about it, and I knew that. People had said, well, you know, you are already that way. You're already, but there was nothing around that was reflecting that back to me. And I didn't see any hope. I mean, I've done things like, you know, I find a magazine that says on the, there's an article on common law. So I buy it and I look it up and I, the guy's number's there and I call him and I go, do you know anyone who is a common law lawyer? And he said, they don't exist. And then he started talking about this other stuff and I just hung up on him. You know, it's like there's a lot of nets out there. So I'm just wondering if I need to make amends by doing another document and sending it where I recorded this stuff in a different county, because in California, you can't record anything in the public record unless it involves real estate. That's just, and that's wrong. I should be able to take a receipt from Chewy Foods and record it if I need to, you know, and in fact, the woman looked at it and she kind of tossed it on the counter. She didn't throw it, but she said, we don't do those here. And so it just, it was painful. It was like, okay, you know, and, but it confirmed stuff, you know? And so, I mean, I don't want anybody to, I mean, you know, we have, it seems like, and we don't, because God's grace is with us and the Holy Spirit will give us our words when we need them. And I mean, you know, and I'm not holy, although maybe I'd like to think that I'm, you know, I'm redeemed, you know, and it's by Christ I can have peace. And, you know, I have a responsibility. But, you know, I'm just wondering if maybe I should just record something at the same county office in another state that just, but I don't know if I need to do that or not and just make amends to something, but I don't want to negate the things that I said. I didn't lie in the documents, you know. It was a lot about my property, the individual things in my property and all this stuff. And but, you know, and then after that, and I'll just be brief, but after that I was trying to find out, I had questions about this second half of it. And I got told how I was just being afraid and that I, you know, I'd just sign it and send it in and fear, 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 fear. And this email was unbelievable. It was like obsessive fear. And finally, one day I got a letter from this individual who threatened me with if I said anything about who this person was and what I, you know, that I would be charged with, what was it, criminal, something. It was, and I looked it up, and it's against the law to do that. So, you know, it was just insane. So I just got away from it. And I didn't do anything that I, you know, I didn't gain anything. I gave them information I had, yeah. But a lot of that has changed now, you know, except my birth certificate. But I'm just don't want to, maybe it needs to stand there and it needs to come up and then I will know what to do at the time. But I'm just...
Let me respond.
Sure, dear. Thank you.
More things, and we'll go from there. But they're just teaching you to surrender. Okay, I started out in that same place trying to figure things out. I used to listen to this law group. I used to go to the meetings every week, and you know, it was online, and I used to listen to this group of people, and they claimed to be lawyers, but they were not taught in law school or bar taught, but they've been studying the law and so on and so forth. But truth is self-evident. Truth is consistent, okay? And after a while, I started to see the inconsistencies. But I learned a lot of stuff, and they were right on a lot of stuff from what they said, because I researched it out. But how they go about these things, that's a whole different thing. They try to teach people, and look, it's a crime with these people. And a lot of this, I think some of these people don't realize what they're doing. They're just kind of digesting all this stuff and then spewing it out of their mouths. I think a lot of these particular people are probably sociopaths or something, not all of them, but some of them. And so they're real, the ones that talk to you the way that they talk to you, I mean, they sound like sociopaths or psychopaths, you know. But really what they don't even realize is that they're surrendering and they're trying to teach you to surrender. They truly believe. And I listen to these people and they talk as if they're in court winning all these cases. I don't believe any of it, not at all, none, zero. And I know some people who executed some of this stuff and was found in contempt, okay? But the thing is they try to teach you, that you think that you're going to walk into a court, click your heels, and you're going to be transported into a court of justice. And it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. The judges, they're laughing at you on the back, you know, behind your back, so to speak. They're laughing at you. They see you as crazy or a moron, okay? On a federal level, they understand what you're trying to say, but they still think you're crazy, okay? Because they do understand what you're talking about. They know that the fix is in. They're guilty of treason, all of them, in my opinion. All of these, even the state level. Look, at the fact that they closed the doors of justice, you can't get into a court because they're the ones that prevent you from getting into a court of justice. They're the ones that work with all the other bar attorneys to stack the jury. Okay, they're the ones that prevent evidence from coming in. They're the ones that lift up the lie and press down the truth. I see it all the time. In every single case I'm involved with, I see it every single time. Many people may not realize it or see it, but I see it because I've been around it too long. I see what they're doing. I know what they're doing. And I've listened to one lawyer who taught they already know who's going to win the case. In the back room, it's already figured out. Let's play the game and play it out. Let's go make the money. Let's go, team, go. I mean, you know, that's kind of what it's like. And it's really bad. And, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's not only on the spiritual level in the churches. It's on the governmental level. Remember, the prince in power of the air is Satan himself. He won this world by reason of conquest in the garden. He lost it at the cross. God has loosened him and allowed him to continue because he's got a plan to the end. Okay? But nevertheless, he can no longer get into the heart of the believer. You know, pre-cross, he was able to get into the heart of the believer. Remember when Christ said to Peter, when he said, we're not going to allow you to be killed or crucified in Jerusalem. And he's talking about a sword and whatever. And the Lord said to him, get behind me, Satan. Satan was inside Peter. Peter was one of the disciples. That can't happen no more. You see, Satan can't get inside the believer, in the heart of a believer, once, because Christ went to the cross. He defeated him. But nevertheless, he's still in the churches. He's still out in the world. He's still running this world. This world is run by Satan. Ultimately, you know, the New World Order, they worship Satan. They're the ones that run this world. They've been running this world for over 2,000 years. A lot longer than 2,000 years. We're just looking at the new side of the New Testament side of things. Yeah. But, so we wrestle against, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness in the high places, you know. But I believe these people have surrendered. They teach a nonsense that can't win anything, you know. You have to go into court, stand on the truth, hold it up, do the best you can. And I continue to do this because I do believe, you know, when we get courts of justice, we can resurrect a lot of these cases. But we have to get courts of justice back first, and that's work. That's time. That takes people to work together to do something. And everybody needs to do their part. But woe is them if they don't. When you have the opportunity, remember, if you have the opportunity to do good and you don't do it, then you're guilty of the evil yourself. And, you know, a lot of knowledge can get very depressing after a while, because the more knowledge you have, the more work you have to do, because it's required of you, okay? And Christ even spoke about this, you know. He spoke about the one that got the one penny and the other one that got the 10 pennies, okay, and the others in between, you know. And the one that got the one penny, he went and buried it. And he chastised them for it. You had that one penny, you should have put it out there. You didn't do it, okay? Now, that's focusing in on, you know, Christianity and the things we need to do and so on and so forth. But it also relates to the world. We have a duty. If we have a duty, you know, to assist people that are being assaulted, you know, I know that could be fearful, but nevertheless, we have a duty to do something to help. Look at that woman that was killed on the train. My goodness, you know.
Yeah.
And there are times when I remember down in Manhattan, I was walking and someone fell in the street and people kept just walking over. And I started to head that way and someone else came over and two or three other people did come over. But generally, people just walking by and continued on. Okay. Yeah. This elderly individual fell on their face, coming off the gutter, into the gutter, off of the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And but look at, we're going to be held liable for these things.
It's so like the proverbial blind eye, you know. People don't want to take responsibility. I mean, I've been in that place. Like, well, the lawyer will take care of it. You know, the lawyer will. And you can't get it anyway, but yeah, it's people turn a blind eye when somebody's in trouble.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah. And woe to them that offend those young ones, okay?
Yeah,
and that's
right.
What they're doing in the schools. And we aren't doing anything about it because we're frightened, okay? I made the decision, fear or not, I'm going forward. I do whatever I got to do. And I know sometimes I put myself in a bad situation maybe, but it's required of me. It's required of everyone to stand up. And the more people that realize this, then the more people, you know, the people who are doing the evil will think before they do it again, you know. And that's why, you know, the right to carry a weapon is extremely important, because any place where people are carrying weapons is practically no crime, okay?
Yeah.
Practically no crime.
Yeah.
So it's all these places where you can't carry a weapon, like these cities, and look at all the evil that's going on, you know? So anyway, what else you got?
Well, that was the basic of it. I don't, there might be somebody else wanting to talk. I've started the course, and I sit here, and, you know, you talk about puzzling, and I think that means you're processing it and,
right,
and struggling with it. And I kind of break out in a sweat sometimes, because I can see where, you know, I've got to grab that by the ears, you know, and look at it, because there's something there that I don't have all the information on. Because when I am able to see it better, the fear goes away, and it still goes back to God. You know, God is like all powerful. I mean, He created this whole universe. And I mean, I sit here and I look at the stars, you know, it's like, so I'm just in the beginning stages, and I'm struggling with equity and law, because I don't know if it's right for corporations to continue to exist in our country, because they seem to have their own little, you know, if we agree, and well, they can agree on bad things too. And it's like, so, I mean, the common law, from what I've seen, that you can also have contracts inside common law. And so I don't know if
well, there's nothing, you know, wrong with the corporation. And,
yeah.
You know, the problem is they've become part of the elitists, especially the big corporations, and they're protected because, you know, first of all, they control the judges and they control a lot of the you know, legislators and a lot of people within government. And unfortunately, a lot of these people are corrupt. Okay. And so on. So, but
and they've also got the young people going. Like, I mean, there's people out here who have been bought up by corporations. They're normally like small company. Well, that's corporate. And I'll go, well, okay. So they've taken the terms and conditions that,
only,
that you would normally find on a
that only happened because they set the environment in such a way. Like, let's take the farmers, the small farmers. The environment would set such a way that they couldn't survive, so they ended up selling or giving up their land because they couldn't to the big corporations who came in. That's all evil, of course. But, you know, look at the corporations shouldn't have been able to do that. And if the environment was good for the small business to survive and continue, then they would have continued and would have survived. Okay, and that's true with a lot of little businesses, even in the cities, a lot of little businesses.
Yeah.
You know, everything seems to be large corporations because that's, they look at Nazism is corporatism, and all everything need to be brought into corporate process. Okay, they had to get rid of the little guy. You know, you got the McDonald's, you got the Home Depot, you know, and you got all these different big places. They've just taken over everything. You know, there's no more lumber yards around where I live. Only once is, you know, the Home Depot and what's the name of the other one? I hope
Lowe's.
Yeah, those are the two biggies, okay? They're probably owned by a mother corporation, owns both. I wouldn't be surprised if Coke and Pepsi is owned by another larger corporation, you know, because you want to put, you know, the opposition out there, and the people think they have a choice, and they try to do that with everything. But I remember, you know, I was a general contractor, and I was a builder, and used to go to lumber yards all the time. There was plenty of lumber yards around. And as time went on, before I knew it, you know, last, I don't know, 10 years or 15 years in business, they all but disappeared. One particular lumber yard had like four or five different locations throughout the county. And I used to always go to that one. They were, you know, family-owned business. And so they had lumber yards all throughout the county. And one by one, they shut down, okay? And they're barely surviving. There's one left. They may even be gone now. It's been a while, so. But they were torn by a thread because they can't compete. You know?
They can't defend themselves against these boys. I mean,
you fell away from Mike. You fell away from Mike or something. I couldn't hear that.
Oh, is this better? Is this better?
Absolutely.
You know, they couldn't defend themselves against some pressure. You know, it's like a mob coming in, and or maybe they'll, you know, they're having a rough time because of whatever, and so they'll just pay them a lot of money, but it's nothing to them. And then, I mean, they've taken them away, and, you know, and maybe God's taken them away to some degree, because, you know, we don't, like you said, my grandparents, my mother didn't know about this. I mean, you know, I was born in 1955. It's like, you know, and the other thing is that television has just done a real number on all of us. And, you know, we could talk about that all night, but I'm just saying that, you know, our belief systems have been eroded where we don't think there's anything real out there anymore. And, you know, and then it's only when somebody like me who gets in a situation, you know, I mean, this has happened to me a couple times in my life where I've had nowhere to turn. And, you know, death starts to look like a step up, and it's like, you know, God help me, you know, and then something changes. And, but I'm,
Did you say death looks like a step up?
Yeah. Some, you know, when people are in a real hardship and they're, it's hopeless, you know.
I do agree with that. Death is definitely a step up for those of us who know the Lord, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if something has to die, but it's not us, it's this. Yeah.
He tells us to hasten and looking towards the day, you know.
Of course.
And anybody that is a Christian at some point in time, is, if you continue to grow in that Christianity, in that in the Bible, okay, you will eventually get to the point that you're desiring the end. I mean, I'm desiring the end. But meanwhile, I have work to do, and so we do it.
Right. So it's God's will, and God has something I have to learn here, and so I'm just doing what I can, but I didn't ask for this, and it's a daily thing for me. So I really appreciate your website is amazing, and I hope it's backed up, because they're talking about interrupting the internet at some point. I mean, I'm sure you have all of your documents and videos and everything backed up, because it's a very beautiful website.
Yeah, pretty much. As a matter of fact, hold on a minute. Terry, how are we doing on backing up? Are you near the mic? Terry backs up us.
Yeah, I back up every night. I have several backups going back few weeks, months, and years.
Yeah, so we're pretty good with that. So if they destroy us, and we also put them into the EMP bags. So if we had an EMP or something, we're protected. I tried to talk with our guy that we get the service from. It's his server, operate the server. And they didn't seem to understand what we were talking about.
Right, they don't.
They have to have a copy to an EMP bag or something, because if we get hit with something bad, there's no recovering it.
Yeah.
I've got five hard drives, all dedicated to backup, and three of them are in EMP bags.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good. So you could just reload the whole website, or do it however,
right.
Whatever the format will be.
And I don't want to lose my books and everything that I've written. All of the written stuff on the website and everything. I got all that on my computer. Back it up, and we're very careful and protected. So.
Right, and you have an address, so if the internet did go down for a while, I could still write to you and somehow reach you. I don't know. All these stories they're coming out with, I don't know what's going to happen, but
it's only going to go down for a short period of time if it goes down.
Yeah.
I don't believe that it's going to go down. It's not going to go down permanently.
No.
I don't think, look at if you followed Q and,
I tried. I did try for a while and but go ahead, please. I don't discredit Q. No.
If you follow Q, Q talks about 10 days of darkness, and I think that's what they're talking about is things like that. Maybe other things. Right. Right now, there are troops being put all around the nation under different guises, especially into the blue cities, to protect ICE particularly, and there's a set detention centers because we see anybody paying attention, there's riots all over the place on this. Mm-hmm. And Trump has had it. He's sending troops even as backup around, even though some of them may not be used. Really, he's getting ready for the big problem, because these people are stuck between a rock and a hard place. They now understand that they're in big trouble. They need to get world war going. They need to get chaos going.
Oh, yeah.
Only way they can survive. And Trump is prepared for that. Q has talked about that. And the claim by Q is that whatever happens, it's going to be a 10-day thing. And if it spills out onto the street, they're going to do everything they can to prevent that as much as possible. But then at that point, stay indoors or whatever, But it's going to be quick. It's going to be quick.
Yeah.
It's going to come. I'm pretty sure it is,
Right.
They have no choice. I mean, these people know that the hangman's noose is waiting for them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting times. It's kind of coming to a climax or, a turning point. I'm a little... nervous about hearing about Netanyahu wanting to own, has the algorithms to TikTok and buying Google, and he's going to buy X. And he said in this one interview, he said, I hope so, because, and then he implied some kind of threat toward Elon if they don't sell him X or something like that. I might be misquoting
I don't know if a lot of that news is real. Maybe it is. I don't know.
It might be an actor. It might be an actor. Yeah.
But the thing is that none of that's going to happen. Look at people don't realize that Trump, some people seem not to realize that Trump knows what's going on. You know, people get upset because he's talking with the enemy, he's negotiating with the enemy. Well, look, at that's what governments do. They have to deal with the evil, and they have to make the best deals they can and suppress them as much as they can. But Trump has an end game, and the end game is to end it, to get rid of the New World Order. It's to end it all, to end evil in control of the world. And that's the end game. He's definitely working on it. And it takes time, number one. He's got a lot of things going on. He's got a great group of people around him. And I do believe, I don't think it's going to be much longer. You know, he talks about the big, big celebration next year because it's 250 years. So next year is this big celebration he wants to have. And I think his intent is to get to this point where we do go through that 10 days of darkness and we come out the other end of it. And then, of course, the economy he's been working on. And at some point, I think by the beginning of next year, things are going to really change, not just in the United States, but around the world. And you know, as far as this guy with Israel, you know, the leader, I saw him talking. He was going to talk to goodness, where Trump was, what is it, down in New York City,
the UN?
The UN, yes. He was talking to the UN, and just about almost everybody just got up and left. Okay, so obviously there's something evil about this guy. There's a truth out there that there is something evil about this guy. And Israel and Britain or England, they have really been the big thorns in the side of the United States. Okay, a lot of people don't realize that though, and they may think you're anti-Jewish or whatever, and that's not the case. No. It's not the people that's the problem. It's the people. It's the leadership that took control of the government and executing the evil. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And then they work the news and everything to cover it up and make things look good when it's really just nothing but evil. I mean, look at the United States. Our government has been responsible for pretty much all the wars since World War II.
All around the world.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand that when I was a youngster. I didn't understand that. You know, the hippie movement came out, and we were up against corporations. They had routes. You know, it was like, well, I didn't get it. I couldn't put it together. But I could see now, especially since I recognized a couple of years ago that our military was infiltrated and that they were sending the people who did a lot of this work were rogue. I mean, and if a real patriot American would not want to go to another country and ravage it and tear it up, you know, or whatever. I mean, but, you know, a lot of the young men thought that they were doing the right thing because they were told they were lied to, you know. So it's really terrible. And it's just, you ever hear of the Holy Alliance?
I'm sorry?
The Holy Alliance.
I have no knowledge of
it. It was like 1778 or something. After the Colonial War was over and we had won, you know, kind of wobbly, but we had won from the king, the whole group of people, they formed, I think it was in Verona, but all of these heads of state came together and they decided that they could not stand the fact that there was this young nation in the West that was free. And that could, you know, worship the way they wanted. They were threatened by this country. And that they agreed they were going to do everything they could to obliterate that. And it just goes back to the same old thing. And people just don't, I don't know, you know, it's, I guess it's, they love to hate or they were threatened by it. Like, they must have felt they were doing something wrong. I mean, if a good person comes along and somebody's doing something wrong, they're going to be worried about getting busted. I don't know, you know, but that whole thing, it's the Holy Alliance, and I'd have to look it up, but it was just out of, you know, the whole Counter-Reformation, and you know, they can't stand Jesus. They don't want anything to do with him, and these are not the people, though, you know, they're not the people, they're the heads of state. know.
Well, we heard in a Bible reading today in Luke 23, I think it was, and that's where Christ said, as he was carrying his cross, you know, if they do these things to a green tree, what are they going to do to a dry tree? And we're a dry tree, you know?
Yeah.
Well, green tree, he was rich, okay, that identifies with being rich ultimately in God's word. And that's what's identifying as a green tree. But, you know, we're not as rich as Christ is in his word. We strive to be, but we'll never be that rich. But anyway, I do have one other person.
Yeah.
In the,
Oh, good. Thank you. Thanks for talking, and I'll be around. I'll hang out. Thank you.
I appreciate the conversation. Thank you.
You bet.
Okay, we'll take our next caller, probably our last caller, Ross. Been a while since we spoke. How you doing? I'm sorry.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay.
We can hear you. Sounds like you're breaking up a little, but go ahead, try.
Okay. We need to also know how much you need to say the process too.
We need what?
We need to know how much you need to say the process too, not just the judicial process. So that's the weakest part of the government structure. It's the court.
Well, you're saying we need to not only secure and save the judicial process, but also the political process. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, let us say the process means we petition Congress to address the problem. If Congress doesn't address it, favors your evidence, you can go to. That's what our founding fathers wanted. They wanted us to go to the Congress first before the courts. Then
they wanted us to go where?
To the legislative process to see if what is the legislative judgment of the evidence you give to Congress to decide on the issue.
And you said something about Congress deciding the issues, but I'm not sure what.
I'm meaning, like, if you present a petition to Congress to address your problem, is Congress is the one who writes the law, they should also address the problem as law.
Yeah, well, putting a petition to Congress, usually, you know, it does become problematic, especially, I think, the last 10 years or so. But there was a time, I mean, I'll tell you what, the papers that we have on the hearing, let me just real quick open this up. Let's see. Boy, I think this is it here. Okay. Oh, wait, let me go back up. Printed material, yeah, this is it. Okay. Transcripts. Okay. Nope, that's not it. Hang on a second. I thought that was it. I guess I didn't put it in here yet. Indictment, chief final. I don't know where that's at. Okay, well, anyway, there's documents we have that Congress, there's two hearings that was done. One was back in 2013. The other one was back in 2014. And I mentioned this earlier this evening, that those two documents were addressing the problems with the ranchers out west, and that the land was being stolen, the cattle was being killed and burned. They were burning up all the green things. They were sabotaging the water that they had out there for the cattle because they were trying to drive these ranchers off the land. And that's what this whole thing was all about. Okay.
Addressing land issues, Congress can address other types of issues too, not just the land.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, in this particular case, they did a good job, and this is it here. It's two sessions that they had, and the recording was 202 pages altogether. And basically, the discussion was threats, intimidation, and bullying by federal land managing agencies. So the land management agencies, this was an oversight hearing they had, and they had the witnesses coming in from out west talking about all these problems. They also put in reports, so there's quite a bit of information here. But they did address and unveiled the fact that this problem was going on. And I think it's called the BLM, if I remember, okay, Bureau of Land Management. And that's what was causing all the problems out there, and the FBI was supporting them, with the intimidation coming out. But they were setting fires on these lands, destroying the grazing areas, the grass for the cattle to graze off of, destroying and sabotaging the water towers that they had that would fill up the water areas for the cattle. And they were doing all kinds of evil. They were literally burning places and burning the cows to death. These were evil people. These people need to be punished. These people need to come to justice. And that's one of the things we're trying to really accomplish, of course, with what we're doing here with this presentment to the president and to Bondi and also to Cash and many others to really get this thing going. And I think we have a good opportunity. I think this is the one that's going to kind of really wake them up, I hope. So we'll see what happens.
Just the problem of slavery, but also...
You keep going in and out on your mic a little bit. I don't know if you're moving around, but go ahead, try it again.
You can't hear me?
I can hear you, but you seem to be moving around or something because there's like syllables I'm not getting. But go ahead. Try it again.
If Congress should address the main problem, do the investigation, that is the administrative process needed to be addressing it too.
Well, Congress is supposed to really investigate and come to solutions, and unfortunately these days they don't seem to be doing that at all. You know, anytime I watch these things when Congress, all they do is they get up there and give speeches against the person who's coming up to bring the information. They're asking questions to give them information. All they do is assaulting these people. I mean, not all of them, but generally a lot of them, particularly Democrats, of course, and the Republicans try to, kind of get out the information, but they don't seem to be interested in solving the problems. And they can't solve the problems because they're trying to destroy the nation. That's the problem.
Yes. That's the only thing is the problem is they don't want to do the duty as the elected official. They want to do politics instead of the political process.
Yeah, the politics is the problem. The political process is the one thing, but the politics is the problem. You see, there's really nothing for them to talk about as far as what they do talk about anyway, They need to be talking about, what we gave them the authority to talk about and to fix any problems that may come up there. Instead of coming up with all these political arguments and money for this and supporting that and, changing the First and the Second Amendment, suppressing free speech or your right to have a weapon. I mean, they have no business discussing these things at all. We, the people already ordained and established these things. There's nothing for them to talk about. Shut up. Don't talk about it no more. Because this is what we, the people, put together. This is what... we know this is right, and just leave our rights alone. Talk about what you need to be talking about. Legislators should go in and see what their powers and authorities are. There's 18 powers. We've laid them out very clearly in Article 1, And the courts, they make their own law up, too. They legislate right from the bench, and it's a problem. It's a major problem. So,
yeah.
And that's the politics. People need to get involved in the political process without the politics. Forget about that. We got to shut them down. You get enough people together and they start saying this, wait a second, stop. You don't have the power. By what authority do you think you have? Where is your authority coming from? You give them a writ quo want to. Okay, you file it. You have it served by the sheriff, and you file it in the courts. And in 3 days, if they don't respond, or give good reason why they should have more time to respond, I think up to 20 days is the maximum. Okay, they don't respond, they surrender their seat. By what authority do you think you have to demoralize our children? By what authority do you think you have to do this or to do that or to try to, you know, take away our right to have a weapon? You know, history recalls and shows that any nation or any country or government that has disarmed the people has committed millions of murders within their own nations, their own, countries. And, we did a paper on this, and it's really alarming on how many nations have disarmed their people and how many of their people that they have killed, millions and millions and millions of people, just in the 20th century alone, okay? And they've been trying to do this in America, too. And again, like I said, there's only two reasons why, okay? One is the fact that we have a government, a covenant with God, and God's only going to allow so much. But the other thing is that Constitution. You know, the Declaration of Independence, which is the foundation of law, okay? The Constitution, which is the law, and the Bill of Rights, which is the capstone, which liberates us.
But everything... it's almost time.
I missed that. For what?
Oh, it's almost 8 o'clock. John?
I'm sorry.
It's almost
8
o'clock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we only got one more minute. Matter of fact, we just lost a minute. So. All right. Well, it was good talking to you, Ross. And hopefully we'll see you next week, too. So we're going to end our program for the night. Lord willing, everybody be back. Good night, everybody. And let's get involved. Let's do the right thing. Good night.